Would you roll call, please?
Chairman Shepherd,
Yes, here.
Vice Chair Evans,
Present.
Chairman Weber,
Commissioner Weber, present.
Commissioner Weber, sorry, Commissioner Niemer,
Present.
and Commissioner Schmidt.
Present.
Okay, with that, we'll skip the Pledge of Allegiance. We'll do that during the regular session, and we'll go into public comment. The general comment period is provided for subject not included on the agenda, but within the subject matter jurisdiction of the district. Each person is limited to a maximum of 3 minutes of speaking time to maintain meeting decorum. Board members and staff should refrain from responding to statements or questions during this time, but may be available to follow up with members of the public after the meeting. So that, is there any public comment? Hearing none, seeing none. We'll adjourn to closed session on a conference with real property negotiations. Government Code Section 549956A, property address 750 U.S. Highway 101, Clark City Harbor, California. District negotiators Mike Barr, CEO Harbor Master Ryan Polt, Sandy Marino, financial consultant. Negotiating parties Daniel Dayhan, Johnny McGraw, and Scott Lahan. Under negotiation, price and payment terms. Government Code Section 549956.8, property address 159 Starfish Way, Crescent City, California. District negotiators Mike Rademacher, Ryan Holtz, Sandy Marino, and negotiating parties is Daniel Dayhan, Shawnee McGraw, and Scott Lahan. Under negotiation, price and government terms. Conference with real property negotiators, Government Code Section 549956.8, property address, undeveloped land along Starfish Way between the intersections of Citizen Dock Road and Anchor Way in Crescent City, California, which is a portion of the assessor parcel number 117-020-016, consisting of approximately 95,000 square feet. District negotiators, Mike Rademacher, Ryan Polt, Sandy Marino, negotiating parties Shawnee McGraw and Scott Lahan, and Daniel Dayhan, under negotiation, price and payment terms. Also, Government Code Section 94956.8, property address, Crescent City Harbor District Maintenance Facility, 191 Raker Way, adjacent to 121 Starfish Way, Crescent City, California. District negotiators Mike Barr, Ryan Pulse, Sandy Marino, negotiating parties Shawnee McGraw, Scott Lahan, and Daniel Dayhan, under negotiation, price and payment terms. That's what we'll be discussing today. With that, we'll move into closed session. Reconvening open session, and the reportable action is we are rejecting the RV offers as currently proposed. And we're going to be moving forward with the RV miles. Okay, and with that, are we going to you got to do the Pledge of Allegiance? We didn't do it earlier. Pledge of Allegiance, please. I'll read it. I pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That being our roll call.
Roll call. Chairman Shepherd.
Here.
Vice Chair Evans.
Present.
Commissioner Weber.
Present.
Commissioner Niemer.
Present.
And Commissioner Schmidt.
Here.
With that, we'll go on to public comment. The general comment period is provided for subjects not included on the agenda, but within the subject matter jurisdiction of the district. Each person is limited to a maximum of 3 minutes speaking time to maintain meeting decorum. Board members and staff should refrain from responding to statements or questions during this time, but they may available after the members of the public after the meeting. Is there any public comment?
Tom Sanders. I was wondering on the Wi-Fi lock gates and cameras, is there any action? Has anyone been assigned to do any of that?
So what we're really kind of waiting on is we got a legislative appropriation of $1 million for maintenance, and it's going through the county. So I think once we're able to unlock those funds, we can, and the board has approved those projects, we just need to really tap into that external funding because our cash flow does not, allow that kind of an outlay at this moment.
Do we have any idea of time frame we're talking about?
They told us January. So I know Sandy's reached out to the
not received yet.
Okay.
Good advice today.
Okay. Oh, it has to. Is that in the account yet? Okay.
It's not a county.
Okay. And I don't want to get too lengthy into this, but the gates being locked, do you really think that's gonna stop anything? I know we could jump right across it and open the door. My crew did it faster than I could get to the latch. Maybe a camera over it or something like that. I don't want to get into this discussion, but we did it the other day. They jumped on the rail, jumped across, and opened the door for me.
Well, it would keep the honest people honest, though.
Okay.
We know you're not
right.
honest. So
no, I'm just saying. I don't know. But anyways, it's a lot of money, and it'd be great if they were constructed differently. But anyways, that's my only problem with the lock gates. I think I'm really behind cameras and stuff like that, and we're looking into that, whatever. So maybe a camera on each gate would maybe even be better. Something. So, anyways, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah. Go ahead, please.
Sorry, I've never done this before.
Oh, no problem. Take your name.
Josie Vega. I stay at Bayside RV Park. I do the mail room. My husband is the camp host. We do the bathrooms clean, introduce ourselves. Well, so we have an issue with a couple male tenants keep going into the women's showers. The person keeps saying the fact that they're gender neutral bathrooms, California state law, da da da. I've been walked in personally 5 or 6 times by the same gentleman. It's getting to the point where all he says is they're gender neutral. California law, I'll sue the harbor. I was thinking of a suggestion of maybe we can get a porta potty to put out in the parking lot in front of the bathrooms and the showers, because that technically would be a gender neutral bathroom. And this gentleman cannot keep using this excuse. My 16-year-old daughter goes and takes showers in there. The locks were changed on the top because of security reasons. My daughter, I have told her to lock it. I have a key because we do the bathroom cleaning. If someone has an issue, they can call security. But we have other minor children that are taking these showers, and this gentleman keeps using this gender neutral going into the female's bathroom. So my suggestion would, if we can get a porta potty for outside, because by California legal law, that is a gender neutral bathroom. So he would have no excuse and no right to sue or try to sue the harbor. We're saying they don't have gender neutral bathrooms, because the porta potty would be that. That's like my issue, because it's really, really uncomfortable when you have a man coming in while you're in the middle of showering.
Yeah.
So this is the first time I'm bringing it up. I put in some incident reports. This is my first time ever coming to a meeting.
Yep.
So
thank you very much. And we'll definitely we'll have to work on that one for sure. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
That's why I have concerns when you allow people who have sexual offender status living in these RV parks. There's 7 of them here. And so you need to really pay attention. Ms. Rademacher said we can't refuse them to live here, but you know what? There's ways around that.
I'm a guy that would like to see them gates actually working. As a security guard, I think if he's seen somebody going around the fence, which might take 30 seconds, I think he would be like, hey, red flag, I got to deal with that.
Great idea.
If he walks through the gate, he doesn't think much other than maybe I should watch that guy. You guys, I know that it goes to your funding thing. That street light, are we doing anything to maybe fix that? That is so dark out there. Security could tell you that is very dark. We've discussed it a few times. Yeah, you guys brought it up about, well, actually, I think I brought it up about maybe putting some signs up on your dumpsters about, hey, no rope, crab rope. Did that work anywhere? Because I see them full of rope. Nope. Are we almost wasting our time sometimes when we're talking about this stuff?
Hopefully
yeah,
not.
Yeah.
I guess you have been. Hopefully not.
Yeah, it's... Signs aren't too hard. Mike literally told me a year ago about putting up some, he said that they ordered them. They were in to keep the dog shit off the dock and little bags to pick it up. He said, he told me they were in. Mike, did they get put up?
I've talked to Manny's Fed. I don't.
A year ago, you told me that. Remember telling me that? Didn't happen. Just saying, why spend the money if you ain't going to do it? Because maybe you guys did or didn't, but Mike told me you spent the money on it. You told me they were here. Thanks, guys.
Mr. Chairman, can we get a dumpster just for the crab rope? Put your throat in this dumpster, and then it's not going to hopefully go in the other dumpster.
I believe we had a discussion about that. The volume of rope that needs to be disposed of is just tremendous. And it's really cost prohibitive for the harbor to take on that responsibility.
Didn't we talk about this a while ago? What did we do about it?
Well, unfortunately.
What should you do about it?
We talked. We were going to, I think you guys said, hey, that'd be great to put a sign up at least to say no. Didn't we done this up?
Well, we've said no home garbage. We got to do that. We will get a sign on those stuff.
But that doesn't affect me that much, other than it just takes money from the harbor.
But I know they're filling up faster than I've ever, you know, unbelievable. But
there's one.
I didn't see much rope in the ours, but I didn't know the other ones might be full of rope. I don't know. There was
as an hour and a half ago. There's one dumpster. There must be 15 gallons of oil in front of it. Maybe actually, I think there's more than that. It's just jodes of oil out there. It's a.
And which one is that?
It's right out front, probably as you go around the turn. I think the second set of dumpsters just beyond the dock terms. Oh. 5 gallon buckets just full.
We'll get Billy.
Sorry, you guys.
Yeah, yep. Well,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Are we complete on the biocontamination that's going on? I kind of agree with that because I'm watching our bins over here where I'm at get piled up, and we don't have that many people that live in the harbor that pile that much trash up. Watching people drive in throughout the night, go through the dumpsters, and I suggest we lock up the dumpster at like 9 or 10 o'clock, and somebody needs to be here early in the morning to make sure that the trash people are here to pick up the bin. So they can get in there. If not, it's been a continuation. It's just running money in our pocket. And it's starting to fill up pretty good. The biocontaminant stuff, the law says they have to be in 5 gallon buckets sealed, and it has to be on a steel pallet, not no wood or anything, because you might have a contaminant and steel can be rewashed and wood can't in case it spills. I wanted to check with you, Mark, did you get that email I sent you? On the emergency disaster plan I put together?
Yeah, the presentation.
Yeah, I got more. I send you the next level up. I cut everything down from, God, miles of this stuff down to like 3 or 4 pages. And I put a tier in there that different level, black, blue, green, yellow, orange, red. Black stamp means you're done. It's over with. We have to go get a new doc. We have to go new people. Pull out body bags. It's a black thing we use in emergency service. We tag you. Blue means you're blue in it. Everything's green. Everything's fine. Next one will be green. Green says that we're going. Like, remember how we were first stage of during disaster, of any kind of disasters? Green means that we take precautionary, put out signs, put out street lines, but don't evacuate the people. That only comes in orange and red. When we get to orange, that means we got to clear the docks, we need clear vehicles, and no more vehicles up against the block when we have a tidal wave coming in. They have to park either across the parking lot or they can't park up near the dock. Because if I have a 20-foot wave come in, right, I'm not saying anytime soon, it's going to pile up. And whatever vehicle is nearby or whatever object is going to get hit. So I would suggest if we do have that, give a little space. You know, don't drive your vehicle right up on top of the docks like it was that time. I'd like to get with you and just kind of go over what I did. And maybe we can make something worthwhile and, you know, have a record. So that way, if I'm not around, at least you have the reference to go by. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any more public?
I got Bo Harkins. I do sport fishing, a lot of it. I have a gripe on closing the fish cleaning stations when we still got fishing season going on because of the crab. I understand the crab shells, but that's not our problem. I pay $180 a year to use the facility. That part of that facility is the cleaning station. So, you know, something needs to be done with that.
It's closed when the fishing season closes.
Huh?
They close the cleaning stations when the...
No, it was, the fishing season was open.
It was still open?
It was still open and it was closed. And then I was told, no, I called the security and said, we lock it up. Because of the crab having shells in the bins. I know you've got six, and I counted them, six signs up there that says don't use the trash can, not the bin, fish bin. I agree with that, but that's not my problem.
Okay. Thank you, Bo. Any other public comment? Hearing none, seeing none, we'll move on with the meeting to consider and approve the consulting contract with GHD Incorporated to perform engineering condition assessments of buildings owned by the Crescent City Harbor District for an amount not to exceed $66,333 to be paid for with the Hazard Mitigation Grant Program funds. Hey,
Mike Barr, can you hear us?
Oh, I can now. All the volume went away. I'm watching the agenda. Are we there?
Yeah.
All right. Doesn't show it on the screen. Sorry. Commissioners, hello. Good to be with you today. Before you is an item to consider and approve a consulting contract with GHD to perform structural engineering inspections and condition assessments of buildings owned by the Crescent City Harbor District. This item is the follow-up to the release of the request for consulting to perform structural engineering inspections at the buildings owned by the harbor. This RFP was released in October with responses due by November. The Harbor District received two responses. Harbor Master Mike Rademacher and I reviewed both proposals. And before you today is the recommendation to consider the proposal from GHD. Very excited to recommend GHD. They've got a tremendous amount of relevant experience with coastal and port facilities and doing this kind of work. This their scope of work now includes the structural engineering of the boatyard building, the two fish processing facilities, and the Harbor District office. As You recall this started with just the boatyard building. And when we brought the RFP for review to the board, requested that we add in all of the harbor-owned buildings. That was the RFP that was released. When that came back, it averaged about $15,000 a building. Mike and I discussed that, and we kind of talked about the conditions of the buildings. Mike recommended that we remove the Sheriff's Boat Building, the former Abalone Building, and the Coast Guard Station at this time, both to save grant funds and really because there's not a lot of interest has been shown to lease them. And we know each of those buildings is going to need significant work to get back to where they need to be leased. And without a tenant even asking you, it seemed like a good way to save some money. This scope of work also includes an add-on, an optional task of looking at hazardous material sampling and reporting related to lead and asbestos. This additional scope is not included in the recommendation of the contract award at this time. So if potential hazardous materials are identified during the structural inspection, staff will come back at a future meeting to add on that optional scope on this contract. So today with us on Zoom from GHD is Stephanie Gould, Senior Project Engineer, and she can go a little bit more into detail into their scope and the way that they would approach this work. Didn't know if there was any, I should add that this is grant funded and we still have after this, still $580,000 in this grant if the board approves this contract.
Two quick questions.
Go ahead.
Hello, Mike?
Yeah, sir.
There are two respondents to the RFP. Who is the other guy? Who is the other bid?
Name's not right in front of me. I'll look it up here. I'll have to get back to you on that.
Okay, the second question is, does the Fashion Blacksmith Building, is it covered by this proposed contract?
Yes.
The boatyard
building is covered.
Very well. Thank you, sir.
My concern with this is we did send out an RFP for all the buildings. It's an untrue statement that there's no or little interest in the boatyard building, the abalone building, or the Coast Guard building. In fact, there have been commercial fishermen that have asked to rent out the sheriff's building, and the harbor master has been informed of that and not reached out to them. The Coast Guard Station, CDFW, is very interested in leasing the building as soon as the deed has gone through, as long as there's no one living there, but currently somebody is living there. And same with the Abalone building. The university has also paid interest in it, which is why I requested that they all stay on the RFP and be evaluated accordingly. The boatyard building is in grave disrepair, as other buildings are, so having a baseline assessment to know what we're to do with these buildings and also to proceed with a harbor facilities plan would be fantastic. Otherwise, they're going to stay vacant buildings, not generating revenue for us.
If I said boatyard building is not included, then I misspoke. Boatyard building is included.
I'm aware it's included. It is included on there. It's the first one. But what I'm saying is it's also in grave disrepair. So the statement that the other three were pulled off because of their condition would be inaccurate. All these buildings are in need of severe, serious repair. And there is interest in the ones that were pulled off. So my request is they be put back on so we have an analysis of all the buildings in the district so we can move forward with an accurate harbor's facilities plan as well and generate revenue from these buildings. Is it possible to add those buildings back on, Mike?
I will give you an amount here. I will look up the previous proposal and let you know how much that would be.
Thank you.
As And I'll have that for you in just a few moments. Any
Mike, the fun. Yeah, I got a question. It's Evans. The final report, is it going to delineate between safety risk and deferred maintenance? That'll give us a better understanding on what we need to do, things that need to be addressed immediately, and things that, you know, obviously deferred maintenance.
I think that's a great question for GHD.
Okay. Can you guys hear me? This is Stephanie with GHD.
Yep, I hear you.
Okay, great. Yeah, absolutely. So the intent of this is to, you know, we're basically going to go in, we're going to provide any like immediate, you know, safety concerns. And then basically we're going to do any recommended repairs or any recommended just maintenance follow-ups. So, and it's all going to be somewhat conceptual, and, you know, we're willing to sort of fine tune our recommendations to your guys' needs as well. Hopefully, does that help answer your question?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay. And Mike, if you need me to pull up our previous proposal with the other three buildings in there with the cost, I'm happy to share that.
Yeah, we have that.
Yeah, it'll just take me a second to.
Yeah, I know. I also have it now. That would be okay. Total not to exceed of $84,923. That is also, again, that was the lowest of the bids that we received. So $84,923.
Is that money in that hazard mitigation grant?
It is. We would still have over $550,000 left in that fund.
No, well, I'll entertain a motion. What the commissioners would like to do.
I make a motion to approve consulting contract with PHC to perform engineering condition assessments of buildings owned by the Crescent City Harbor District for an amount not to exceed $84,923 to include boatyard building, fish processing facilities on Starfish Way, two buildings, Harbor District Office, Sheriff's Boat Building, the former Avalone Building, and the Coast Guard Station.
I'll second that.
Yeah, my thought is Commissioner Niemer has noted that we need those assessments for to move forward on our facilities plan. So we need to get the facilities plan done. So if that's what we need to do, then I'm all for it. So.
Ms. Gould, are you able to add those buildings to your plan?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I mentioned, we submitted our original proposal based on the RFP that was published, and those have the original seven buildings. So that fee that Mike mentioned is our original proposal, and that will still hold true, which is
excellent.
Amount.
Thank you.
Yep. We'll just make sure when we go through our contracting that we'll submit, you know, we'll include that version and redact the old one.
Well, if it passes here, thank you very much. So if there's no other comment from the board, I'll take on public comment on the matter of the building assessment for $84,923.
Yep, my understanding that all this does is tell you what you got in front of you with regards to those buildings in terms of cost. And at this point, is there any consideration for how you're going to come up with that cost? And is it possible that you can do it piecemeal to the point where you have somebody interested in a building and you can work on that particular building and get it up to the standards? Do you have the financial wherewithal to do that so you can get people gradually into these buildings, paying the harbor some sort of a fee so that you can improve your bottom line. That's how I would approach the problem. I'm not sure that going full bore, the harbor has the wherewithal to do that and fix all the buildings all at once and get everybody in and happy, because it seems like you're already having problems running the RV parks. And it would seem like the focus there would probably bring you the most immediate relief from your financial difficulties.
I agree with that, and that's where I would think to answer that is I don't think we can actually entertain leases unless we know the hazard. That's
Right.
why they were stuck, and that's why we want to know the
I
hazards
understand that.
include. So I mean that's what this includes. And then the most important, well, not as important, is that in order to complete our harbor facilities plan, we have to have an assessment of the buildings on our property. Otherwise, we can't move forward with the harbor facilities plan. And that was just brought to my attention within the last couple of weeks. So I think that's not the main reason, but those are the two reasons that we're going to do this
Well,
and not do it the way you would think you should do it.
right, I understand that. Not to stray too far from this, but you've set priorities for certain things as you go along in that facilities plan. You have to be able to allow for things that come up that you can't forecast currently. Like you may go into the boatyard and find out that you've got a huge cost to put that
Yes, yeah.
back into condition. You could have a tsunami that wipes out half the harbor in the next 6 months, but you can't predict that. So you're going to have this facilities plan that's going to have to allow some space in there, and it's not going to be able to include costs and timelines in any realistic fashion. I mean, I've already been in front of the Board of Supervisors, and they have a strategic plan, and they've already had in the last 6 months had to alter it two or three times. So, I mean, I'm not sure what this concern is for having all your T's crossed and your I's dotted. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. Any other comment? Other comment? None up on the screen, I don't see. So go ahead,
I have a
Chair.
question for Mike Barr. Since this contract is going to be paid with the Hazard Mitigation Grant program, number one, what else would we do with this account? And does it cover that particular portion?
Yes, it covers in structural engineering, and it also covers hazmat sampling and reporting. So it would cover add-on as needed for this. That is one of the things included in the grant funds.
Yeah,
And I
what
can
else
bring
have you
you.
planned with this grant? Is there a chance that we run short on some other end?
We're holding back for the finalization of NEPA and CEQA. And so NEPA has gone through its process, been fully done. CEQA is on your board agenda today. It's going to be coming back to you. So once CEQA is fully complete, then again, we should be looking at other things. But that's what we've been holding it back for, was anything that came up out of those.
So you're saying we potentially have enough money in that grant to take care of other items that you can foresee at the moment?
Yes. Well, we will bring back the previous list of all the eligible things that you can do with these funds at your next meeting.
As I said, we have to move forward with this harbor facilities plan, and if we need these buildings to be assessed, that's a big concern of mine. So that's where I stand on this subject. So I don't know where any more public comment will take a vote.
Chairman Shepherd?
Aye.
Vice Chair Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Weber?
Aye.
Commissioner Niemer?
Aye.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
And moving on, consider staff report and provide direction on potential license-free public fishing designation at Anchor Way.
Yeah, so staff has reached out to some of the restaurant tenants in the harbor to see how they felt about this proposal. It's going to increase the amount of vehicle traffic, which could have some negative implications in terms of just traffic management and crowding, but the restaurateurs feel like this is going to be a positive, increased potential business, and certainly for the tourists don't have to deal with, a fishing license, it's going to be a positive. So the staff recommends that we go ahead with the proposal from CDFW. As mentioned in the staff report, it doesn't require any changes to the ordinance code. It's something that CDFW can do administratively. So, but we wanted to just get some of the board feedback so that if there's any concerns, from the public or from board members, we can provide that feedback to CDFW.
Well, my first question would be if there's no site map, so knowing exactly where the fence would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Is it just a section? Is it the whole length of it?
Do they talk to you, right, Justin? Did they indicate any
specific area? The length of Anchor Way.
From 101 all the way down to Whalers?
Essentially. Basically where the beach begins, all the way down to Whalers Island. And the reason being is because there was a sign placed on the North Jetty by the Army Corps of Engineers. That essentially states, I haven't seen the sign personally, but basically it says, don't go out here, it's dangerous, you should stay off. And due to that fact, CDFW had that particular jetty listed as a free fishing area, meaning you didn't have to have a fishing license to fish on the North Jetty. Since you are no longer allowed access to the North Jetty, they can't have that listed as a place to fish for free. At one point in time in the past, Anchor Way or Whalers Island was listed as a free fishing area. However, due to the definition change of man-made structures, et cetera, by CDFW, Anchor Way, Whalers Island no longer qualified as a free fishing area. So since North Jetty has been more or less declassified as that, they want to reclassify Anchor Way the way that it was before to allow people to fish out there without a fishing license. And it would also obviously be patrolled by wardens for the laws that they enforce, et cetera.
B Street Pier is a free fishing.
B Street Pier is also a free fishing.
And our dock up here is a free fishing.
No.
It is not. No, you're right. No, that's not. Okay. Yeah.
Citizens Dock is not a free fishing area because it is a working dock.
Right. Okay. Maybe the public has something to weigh in on this. Is there any public comment on the free fishing at Anchor Way?
Well, yeah. I got everything. I'm watching people catch flounders, fish, everything off the Whalers Island over here, this one left. Watched a guy pull in like a 25-pound flounder the other day on a 65-pound hook. A 3-ounce drag, and I'm like, I'm fishing, and it's nothing biting for hours, and this guy shows up 10 minutes later and walks away. I just kind of gave up after that.
Check his bait.
Yeah. So it's great for fishing. I wouldn't use it for nets because you get trapped up underneath the rocks. If people have a fishing pole, they could go way out there and kind of open, like an open face. I wouldn't suggest use the rocks. I would use the sand area if possible, like between the gourd, stuff like that. Kind of make it easy for them and not so much dangerous.
I'd have to get a clarification on the Whalers Island. I'd fish that. That's pretty dangerous.
But yeah,
I don't know if that includes just Anchor Way or be free fishing off Whalers Island.
Yeah, I've seen some pretty nasty waves.
You know if that was included in
the entire
Whalers Island. Okay.
And does that include the inner jetty then as well?
Yes.
Okay. Great.
I would, off of that, Rick, I would say we should probably post some signs around Whalers because it is a dangerous area, the rock specifically.
That's
at your own risk.
Well, I'd entertain a motion to.
If I could just lay in. So
yeah, you bet.
So,
yeah.
I mean, obviously we can expect heightened traffic along that area. How are we with trash cans? Parking, do we need to do any adjustments to that area? We follow through with this to...
I think parking should be a real issue.
I
there's plenty of parking along Whalers.
Trash cans,
I'm sure maintenance has them and can place them.
Okay. And then do we expect a heightened CDFW presence?
Yes.
Enforcement presence along there? Okay.
They're already pretty on it.
Yeah, they're there at the boat launch a lot. But there's going to be a lot of parking problems. Especially when the summer and all the tourists and
once
summer fishermen I've already thought you were going to have to maybe designate an area to not park in the boat trailer area for the launch. So they'll just clog that up and nobody will be able to park the boat or the trailer. So there's going to take some work here. I'm not big on it, but you know I think it's a great thing for kids that you know. Well, if they're kids, they don't have to have a license. Whatever you want to do, I'm up for it.
It just shows my ignorance. I'm surprised that we can do this so easily to deprive the state of California from some money.
They wanted us to do it. They came to us and wanted to put it there.
Hey, I'm okay.
Open it up to
free public fishing.
Yes.
I'll second it.
Heard the public. Go ahead and let's take a vote.
Chairman Shepherd?
Aye.
Vice Evans?
Aye.
Chairman Puck? Commissioner Weber?
Aye.
Commissioner Niemer?
Aye.
And Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Okay, approve a lease with Fishing Vessel Resolution LLC for placement of a cold storage container.
I have to recuse myself from this. It's my husband's business.
Okay, I'll give us a little brief. There's when Pacific Choice moved off the dock out there, they had two freezers and they've removed them. I think they put them over where they're at over there now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they moved them over there. So that left two freezer space out here where the freezers are right behind here. And one was leased by Ocean Gold.
Well, actually, Fathom was going to take one, but they decided against doing it. So we have two open spaces, and this is the first type of a lease for cold storage that we've done that's not associated with the hoist lease. So it's kind of unique. And once we approve this, we can use it in perpetuity until the board wants to change it again. But it's for, you know, a very nominal amount of money. It's $111 a month. So, you know, it's really not a big deal. I mean, the tenant pays for the utility costs, which is, you know, way overshadows the land lease rate. So it's, you know, pretty straightforward, I think. We try to keep it simple, but it's just month to month. There's no lease term, so it can be terminated anytime. And we put a note in there that there may be some relocation as a result of the EIDP grant and the construction for seawall. We tried to kind of anticipate any issues, but I think it's pretty simple.
That's the same amount that the other hoist lease pay. They pay that.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. Okay. Keep things consistent. Hey,
Mike, are those shipping containers out there?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay, who owns those containers?
The individual tenants do. Yeah.
Okay. And the proposal before us, that person would also own. Bring in and own their container.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of those containers have been there for years and years. Have they been abandoned?
No, they're currently in use. I mean, one thing that we did explore, there was a developer who was going to, develop a cold storage facility, but the feedback we got was that if it's anything less than 10,000 square feet, it wouldn't be economical for them. I mean, obviously there'd be be a lot more energy efficient if we can have a single building. And we have enough room. But yeah, it's just sort of been a, you know, individual gets their own container and they're responsible for it.
Now, I know that you report that I heard that some of the, I'll call it wiring infrastructure work that had been installed to serve some of those containers has been torn out and it's no longer functional. What's the status?
Well, so for example, Mr. Niemer had to get a power distribution box in order to tie in the system. And so that's also been something that's been the responsibility of the tenant, you know, to install and maintain. It's not a huge expense. I think it's a few hundred bucks or something. And also to add to that, there's kind of for now it's kind of a temporary thing because when the seawall gets built, they're all going to be moved. We're going to, I believe, put some boxes over in that area of the parking lot to put them so that they can continue to use them. And then I think when the area gets, the seawall gets rebuilt, I'm sure they're going to be state-of-the-art electrical panels and everything else like that. My assumption.
So Mike, you addressed it already, but the $111 a month, that's kind of in line with what other people are paying.
I just said that all the other tenants are paying the exact same amount. So I just want to keep everything consistent payment wise in the hardware work we've been working on for several years. So that's, I can't see charging, you can't charge anymore. So.
Do we have sub-meters in place? How are we? Determining.
We build them. Yeah. And we did kind of go back and look at the hoist leases to see if, you know, this was sort of like a discounted rate, you know, if it was part of a package deal. And it didn't appear to be. So I think that's, you know, given the amount that we charge per square foot, I think it's in line with that. It's reasonable. You know, we usually charge around $1 a square foot for retail. And this is just undeveloped land. So I don't think it's, you know, it's like a complaint maker, but it's a...
I move to approve the proposed lease for that.
I'll second it. I have one more question. So if the harbor's operational needs change and we need to relocate or terminate this lease, is this lease strong enough to accommodate that?
Yeah, it's strictly month to month. So either party can terminate on 30 days notice. Okay. So yeah, there's no, it's not, you know, really no long-term binding obligation. Obviously, it's our intention, you know, not to, you know, terminate list this big cause.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Okay. Excellent.
Did I ask for public comment?
Public comment. Okay. Let's take the vote.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes. If you want to give me a title, you can call me secretary. You won't offend me.
Commissioner Niemer is abstaining?
No.
She's recused or something.
Recusing? Yeah. Commissioner Weber?
Aye.
Vice Chair Evans?
Aye.
And Chair Shepard?
Aye. Okay, approve a budget for promoting security cameras to monitor undisclosed high-risk areas to be chosen by Harbor Patrol Lieutenant.
Before we move on, can we get Commissioner Niemer back in the
room? We're moving on to approve the procuring security cameras to monitor undisclosed high-risk areas to be chosen by the Harbor Patrol Lieutenant. I didn't know about all the areas, but Eric from out in Ocean Gold had some bait stolen. This is a year ago, I believe, and there's been a couple thefts in that freezer area for people stealing bait. And so he asked about a camera system for back there. And I agreed that we put it on the agenda because I think as we move forward and there's going to be a lot of equipment out here when the seawall is being rebuilt and the citizens dock, that I think that it's going to be, it'd be really good to have that security for the equipment that was out there. And we could maybe move it on forward. We already got cameras over here at the dumpster. I inquired whether we could just add some cameras onto that system or maybe get a larger system so that we can have a security camera system around the entire Harbor building. I find the one, the Sunset Cam, really interesting.
friend was coming in. I was watching it. Some kids were trying to open the hot door, and they just walked on. But I mean, I realized that, you know, these cameras in this area would be a good deal. And I've been a proponent of it forever, to have it through the entire harbor. And I'm more for that than what, but anyways, to start here, and it says other high risk areas. So we're going to maybe potentially put them elsewhere, but I really think it's a good idea to have them, at least the camera for the freezer storage back there. And so with that, does anybody have any ideas?
I hate to bring it up, but we had a public comment about the creepy person around the women's showers. Can we somehow monitor that some way to aid in the prosecution of that individual?
I liked her idea of having the porta potty. I mean, I know they're expensive for us, but you know, I don't know. We'll have to look into that. But that camera system would be way over there. That's where that is, or Bayside, the trailer park showers. And we're looking at the what we're proposing is one here on the office to be watching the freezers and back in through here, and is what we're proposing right today. And then I would hope maybe we could move it to other areas and maybe that area there, but that's not what we're deciding on today.
I'm 1,000% for security cameras, but I can't approve a budget when there's nothing here to approve. There's no cameras, no numbers, no budget. We don't have it in the budget, so we need numbers to
That's approve. A great idea, you know, and that let's get a number on it, and we'll table this for today. And
let me just explain my thinking. So we were just wanting to get some feedback, sort of a ballpark idea, so that we can kind of get some quotes and get some more definitive information. The board could set some parameters, maybe like a high and low number. And also, we just wanted to kind of, because this has come up several times in the public, we wanted to get some feedback from the board. You know, it's part of our draft harbor facilities plan is to expand the Wi-Fi network. So these cameras are going to be, in many cases, dependent on network access. If it's in a building like this building, we have network access on site. But if it's going to be, you know, out in the inner boat basin or someplace in the parking area, it'd be contingent upon expanding the Wi-Fi network, which will be utilizing some of the money from the HFP harbor facilities plan. You know, if you want to just, I know Justin, you've talked to like Advanced Security, I think. And
Advanced Security is the guys who I've been working with about the gates. There's some other companies that I've actually had Mr. Hoffman helping me to get quotes from and information from. So there's quite a few companies out there who are willing to do it. We just need the money to do it.
Yeah, and so I mean, we can come back with a really concrete proposal with any, you know, range of numbers. And so just kind of before we go to the effort of doing that and, you know, wasting the time of these companies, I just want to sort of have some parameters of, you know, what the board's thinking would be an appropriate, you know, amount of money. I mean, and I would do this under the assumption that it would come either from the legislative appropriation or the Measure C money, depending on how that goes, you know, with Harbor Facilities Plan. That's probably going to be, you know, take more time because there's some issues to work out with the county. But under the assumption it's not coming from our general, you know, funds, what, you know, does the board have any feelings, you know, ballpark numbers?
And the original, what I came up with on this meeting was just like one camera for the freezers. And I think that's something that we could do. I mean, it's very affordable. That's what I proposed for this meeting. And then the other high risk areas came on, and then that could be, like you say, getting a company to install a huge system, which was thousands of dollars. But I'm sure we could raise the money for a small camera system for the freezers is what I was trying to achieve today. But if we'll come back and table it, and we'll get some numbers for a small camera back here to all the way from different parts of the harbor. So,
to place one camera.
That way we can look at them and decide what we want to do.
To just place one camera on my existing system wouldn't be very much money at all.
For this freezer.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would like to propose. If we could get that today done, because crab season's going on, bait's getting stolen, mm-hmm.
ICS can
I think that course. That's what I was trying to achieve today. And trucks coming in and trucks going out. And I mean, just to monitor that would be, I think would be a benefit to this harbor.
What's the cost on that, Justin, just to start out with the one camera?
I don't have a quote for that, but ICS already manages all of the camera systems and everything anyways. They're our tech guys. So I can just give them a call today. And we've got other cameras in other areas.
Eric just said he would donate one, but then I don't know.
Are we talking $100 or are we talking $500?
I would probably say 300 max.
300 max.
Cameras are very affordable nowadays.
So, I mean, if you wanted to get one that would like pan, tilt, and zoom, so you could like remotely, manipulate the lens, I mean, that'd be more like $1,000. If you want to do something that, is out in the parking lot, that's going to require some network access and you go up pretty significantly.
Okay. We'll have to come up with all that information, I guess. I just wanted one camera pointing at the freezers, but we'll have to deal with that later, I guess. So we're going to table that idea.
I agree with your suggestion. I actually think the roof could use two cameras to cover all the angles and you would get a lot more coverage.
We don't know the amount, and we can't approve that.
I agree, but he was asking for feedback. And so if we could get at least two cameras with the installation, but the other option, I have no idea you considered doing advanced security. I learned from cameras from actually a recreational boater who goes through T-Mobile, $250 camera with a $10 a month SIM card, gets him remote access. So it's very feasible to have cameras around here without networking the whole place.
So yeah, I mean, my intention was just because obviously we have consultants come up here and from Eureka and get a quote. It's a lot of expense on their part. I didn't want to waste your time. If the board doesn't want to allocate, let's say, $10,000 for this, then I won't focus on that. So it sounds like what I'm hearing is just focus on two cameras for this building. Don't worry about the rest. Is that the direction the board wants to give steps?
I think that would be appropriate right now. Is there any way to get these cameras when they're up and running published online?
Yeah.
So anybody that's using those, if they can get on the website and take a look at the cameras.
Really the sunset?
Yeah, same as the sunset camera. Yeah, I have all the cameras published online. So this is asking for a ballpark figure. Would it be out of line to just suggest that we look at this not to exceed, say, $1,000 to get two cameras? I mean, you're throwing $300 and that would be stand till.
$300 for just a stationary camera.
Yeah, I recall reading somewhere the bylaws that the harbor master has discretion to spend up to $2,000 on things like this. Let's just toss it over to Mike.
Yeah. I mean, I was anticipating it might potentially be a large number. I mean, it's up to the board. So we can keep it, with around $1,000. And, do you want to authorize it from the general funds or do you want it to be contingent upon one of these external funding sources, like the legislative appropriations going through the county or the harbor facilities plan, that type of thing? I mean, obviously, we do use general funds, we do it really quickly.
If we spent the money out of our own pocket, could we be reimbursed at a later date by one of those grant funds?
Well, so with the legislative appropriation, the feedback I got from the senator's office is that once the money comes in, we should be able to get reimbursement up to the date it was signed, which was back in, I believe, October. So theoretically, yeah.
I say $1,000.
Okay. Yeah. All right, son.
Can I speak?
Go ahead.
So at my house here in Crescent City, I have Wi-Fi, which just goes back to your Wi-Fi. For $30, I have a camera on my cell phone. If somebody walks by and makes noise, it alerts me. For $30. And this goes back to your guys' Wi-Fi. I think it was Mike was trying to get Wi-Fi in the harbor. And if we had Wi-Fi, you guys could put a camera for $30 anywhere you wanted.
Yep.
You could pan. It literally sends you an alarm. Hey, somebody's over here.
Well, keep in mind, this is a maximum number. So we'll definitely try and, get something cheaper. And with the understanding that the goal is for it to be publicly accessible on the web, right? That's one of the priorities.
Sure. Eric just asked for one that you'd have a sentence card to see who might have stole the bait, but however far you want to go is fine with me.
Okay.
I guess limit it to $1,000. Do we need a vote on that?
I don't think so. Yeah, it's under the 2000. So.
No.
Okay, we're going to move on to approve the minutes of the December 17, 2025 special meeting. I'll entertain a motion to approve it or disapprove it.
I'd like to note that we're missing minutes from December 5th, December 10th, and December 31st. And I'll make a motion to approve the December 17th regular session minutes.
So you're asking where are the minutes from the 5th and the 10th?
And the 31st.
Yeah, I think at this point they have been prepared. Is that right, Jeannie?
I don't know that answer.
Okay, I think I saw them put in recently, Commissioner Hoover. And we'll add them to the packet for next meeting.
Let's get rid of those.
Okay. Ann had a motion to approve this December 17th. Did I get a second? Got a second? I don't think we need public comment or anything.
But I want to say.
Okay.
Hey. I'm kind of a little upset to see that this agenda is not prepared adequately. I mean, number seven, for instance, it wasn't fully prepared. And so you guys decided, well, we'll just use $2,000 or $1,000, whatever. And now you've got meeting minutes missing with no explanation of why, but you're just going to approve December 17th. And it's just, somebody's not doing their job. This is outrageous.
I have a couple changes I'd like to add to these meeting minutes. Here it says that Commissioner Schmidt attended via speakerphone for a short time due to an illness and then disconnected. Can we add in there that he wasn't allowed to attend the meeting because it wasn't properly?
Well, Wynn didn't have an address.
Yeah, where he didn't have an address.
Sure.
So. That's all I had. If we can make that change.
This.
Yeah, just that the public wasn't properly noticed.
Or address.
For Commissioner Schmidt.
Sure, for Commissioner Schmidt.
Yeah, remember that.
And other than that, I'm good.
I have a first and a second, and then hold the vote.
Commissioner Schmidt?
I'm going to abstain. I think I was absent on one of those days, so I'm going to abstain.
Commissioner Niemer?
Aye.
Secretary Weber?
Aye.
Vice Chair Evan?
Aye.
Oh. Chairman Shepard?
Aye. Okay, 3 p.m. Hey, we hit it. What is that? That's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. Called a public hearing on the Crescent City Harbor Citizens Dock and Seawall Initial Study Mitigated Negative Declaration. Accept oral and written comments on the initial study through January 17th, 2026. He gave me a deal and I printed it out and how I'm supposed to conduct that meeting. And I don't.
Is Mike Barnett available?
Yes. Mike Barnett said he would be available, yes.
I'm here.
Okay. I got it right here. That's right. Okay.
No.
Call the item. Next item on the agenda is a public hearing to receive public comment. Okay, I just did that. To receive public comment on the mitigated negative declaration of the Crescent City Harbor Citizens Dock and Seawall Initial Study. I will now open the public hearing. This is a public hearing held pursuant to the California Environmental Quality Act. The purpose of today's hearing is to receive public comments on the post-mitigated negative declaration prepared for the Citizens Dock and Seawall construction projects. The board is not voting on approval of proposed mitigated negative declaration at this meeting. This hearing is specific public comments on the document. staff presentation. I will now ask staff to present the report.
Commissioners, pleased to be with you today. I expect a member of Moffitt and Nichols to join us here online. Watch for that. So today before you is the CEQA initial study, which is your environmental initial study, with a recommendation of a mitigated negative declaration. So today you'll accept oral and comments, and you can accept oral and written comments through January 17th, which would be 30 days from the posting. If you wanted to extend that for any reason, you would be able to. The plan is for your next public meeting for adoption of the mitigated negative declaration, unless you request changes into the document at this meeting. So this project is combined CEQA for both phases of Citizens Dock and the seawall project. Both phases of Citizens Dock is construction of new dock phase one, the demolition of the existing Citizens Dock and construction of that dock. Even though we don't have funding to do that part of it, it was included in the environmental assessment. And then, of course, the seawall project is included along with improvements along the shoreline and parking lot improvements. In addition, is a small construction project for mitigation of habitat that might potentially be lost in this project. And so that's over by the boat ramp. So this public hearing is held pursuant to California CEQA. The public was notified of this hearing through publication of legal notices in the triplicate. The mitigated negative deck document was made available online at the Harbor website and a hard copy in the Harbor office. So the purpose is to receive public comments on the proposed mitigated negative declaration. You can accept oral and written comments at the public hearing. You can additional oral and written comments can be submitted to the Harbor District through January 17th. Those oral and written comments received will become part of the public record, and items received may be considered to be included in the initial study. As mentioned, the board will consider adoption of the mitigated negative declaration at a future board meeting, and any description of any changes made to the document in response to comments received at this hearing or in writing post this hearing will be noted at the time of adoption. So Crescent City Harbor District is acting as the lead agency under the California Environmental Quality Act for the proposed project. This initial study was prepared by Moffitt and Nichol. Study period ran from early 2024 to the preparation of this report in November 2025. That work included multiple consultations with the public agencies, and their recommendations and comments are included in this document. So just among some of the potential impacts, aesthetics, biological resources, cultural resources, noise, air quality, water quality, it was about actually 30 factors analyzed in their work. So, and based on that work and the conversations and the feedback from the regulatory agencies, it was determined that there would be less than a significant level of impacts from this project. So accordingly, a mitigated negative declaration was prepared. In your report document, you can see where this project is. If you want to scroll down just a page on the agenda, we can, so folks can see where this is at. All right, great. Thank you right there. So that orange is the seawall project. The blue is phase one, phase two of Citizens Dock. The habitat mitigation area is the red dot. Over in the boat ramp area. project is being done because of the deteriorated state of these pieces of infrastructure. You have kind of a long report in here about the projects. We do not have to read them as part of the public hearing. I'm happy to do so if you'd like me to. We do have the project timeline that is part of the project on the next page. We're going to scroll down so people can see the project timeline itself.
I have one question, Mike. Can I back you up? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, on the drawing there, the blue area is the new construction, but to my knowledge, the dog leg off to the left or facing to the south, that's going to be removed and not put back. Is that true?
That is the preferred design. Study area looked at all of this.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, so that dog leg may not be there in your preferred design.
Okay. That's it.
Okay. Study area include, you know, the observation area, public walkways along the other side, which, again, we don't have funding for, but could be included. So basically, when you look at a study, you want to include just anything that's possible that people have talked about. It includes, you know, replacement of the items on Citizens Dock, a movement from current to the other phase, and complete utility replacements in those areas. So we've filed with the state and locally with the county clerk the notice of completion, the notice of intent to adopt a mitigated negative declaration, and it was published in the local paper. That's kind of, unless you have other questions, that's all I have at this point.
Public comment. It is a public hearing.
So, I might be wrong, but that 709-page document was sent out on Sunday, right? For this negative declaration. So, I'd like to know how many of you read that already, because I'm still reading it. And it takes a while to read 709 pages in order to make and to do research to make a comment towards this declaration. I think that it's a little bit asking too much of the public to have 709 pages written. I don't think any of you have read it.
Mike, was that part of the posting in the paper?
It's been on the website for, I think, at least a month, hasn't it, Mike?
I've been reading it for a while.
Yeah.
Yes, and in fact, I appeared in person before you a month ago. Let you know we would not be having the public hearing that day, but that the document was available for your reading on the website.
I guess I missed that meeting.
But it is a massive document to digest, and you still do have time to digest it.
3 days.
The goal is to come back in 2 weeks for adoption. If you wanted longer, you could push that off if you wanted even longer to read it.
Yeah, this is just one of the public hearings and on it, and it's not a decision meeting. So yes, please.
That's my understanding. This isn't the end of it.
This is just a public hearing just to give ideas from the public,
right,
as to what they would like to see on this document.
But it isn't over with today.
Oh no.
So you got time. So even if you didn't get the thing on Sunday, you still have time to read.
2 weeks, and if it's not enough time, we can even push it back further than that.
Okay. Just to clarify it.
Yes. Yeah. That was my understanding.
Yeah, I would just,
that is correct.
I would hesitate about pushing it back, because keep in mind, we got to get the permits. We got, you know, spring coming up, got construction. So let's not try to delay it. You know,
I don't want to see any delays. It's a really important project, and want to make sure move it forward, so at least if you could all read it in the next 2 weeks and And then in 2 weeks, we'll bring it up to the meeting and maybe we'll go from there. So is there any comments from the commissioners?
I haven't seen how the construction phasing, the construction phasing will minimize downtime for our commercial fleet and other related business inside the harbor, Mike. Is that in there and where?
No, that would be part of the, it's part of the other plan, the construction plan, but the goal is not to close the trestle until the very end of the seawall construction.
Well, thank you, Mike.
Yeah, I read that document. It's, you know, they're going to leave the road going out to Citizen's Dock, and that Citizen's Dock is going to stay operational until the seawall is done.
Yeah.
And that's why I asked for that leg to come off there so we can get enough hoist to where we can, one crab season, we'll all be on the seawall, which will be kind of tough, but I think it's going to work. And then the next falling crab season, the whole Citizen's Dock will be done, is what I've been following with Moffitt and Nichol.
Does anybody know how much that hoist lifts?
What
is it rated? What is the weight that it, that hoist?
Which hoist?
That you guys are talking about.
We're not. We're talking about the docks. It's a dock. The dock right out here. We're replacing all our docks out here. There are fish hoists on there, but I don't know what they're rated at. But I think not more than 1,000 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
There's no hoist.
No plan for anything bigger than that.
Not at this time. We have one here that's a 5,000, and so if maybe, not, you know, if something like that could be done. We had it years ago. We used to lift boats in and out of the harbor with that big hoist out that's sitting right out here. But it kind of become, I mean, it's usable, but it's not really, there's no purpose for it this time. We have a boom truck that boom trucks heavy equipment off, and they can do it over the water. They hoist outriggers and net reels and everything, and so that is sufficient for our needs as a commercial fishing industry. That 5-ton hoist just really isn't being used. If it is, it's only being used to lift lighter than we can.
I don't think it's been used since the seawall was condemned.
No, it hasn't been, no, because you can't, because the seawall's condemned. Anyways,
so we do have a couple of hoists in the engineering plan that was done for this MARAD grant. Unfortunately, because the seismic study came back a lot higher threshold than we anticipated, it's really blown up the budget. And so that is kind of on the chopping block right now, but we're going to try and preserve it if we can to get some new hoist, but it's going to be really contingent upon how much we get from state match funding. So we're going to be going to the Coastal Conservancy. If they give us 5, 6, 7 million, you know, we'll be in pretty good shape. We can add some of those other you know, nice things to have that were part of the original grant. We could have some new hoist potentially.
I think the important thing would be to make sure that the wiring infrastructure would support a bigger hoist, because if we have larger vessels coming in with that bigger dock we have, and there could be use for bigger cranes, but, and they would be built at that time, I would think, instead of these big cranes. They're just not very useful for the fishing industry, and what little bit they're used, our boom truck and everything was.
Yeah, if you don't use them, they get corroded. So you know.
Yeah, you gotta. Yeah, it's gotta be. We have to have a purpose for it. We had a purpose for that when we built it. I remember building it. It was, we hauled boats in and out of the harbor with it, but now we don't.
Okay. One more question is, when we do take out the hoist, how many hoists are you going to put back in?
And if all the fish companies have two hoists, and we have to supply them with two hoists.
Two hoists. So this one out the harbor where we're going to, we have this right here, you're just going to kind of like get rid of it? I mean, is that what you're going
to do? Big hoist there will be gone.
It will be gone.
It's, yeah.
Okay.
And it won't be replaced right away with the big hoist, but we'll have fish hoists. They're just like the ones out in the dock.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I was just thinking maybe, you know, it might be able to save later down the line, just kind of put aside and have a steel structure engineer come in who monitors these things, like from the companies that make them. They have engineers that come out, and they'll just probably whoopie doo da day and fix it right back up. Nice.
so we could put it to the side for, you know, for future use or something.
I don't think we'll scrap it, but it'll be coming out of there. So.
Okay.
But thank you very much.
Yeah, I was just saying, you know, yeah. We had some really nice posts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's it. Any other comments? No more public comment. So, yeah, we'll address this in 2 weeks and make a final decision on this project. And so thank you for the input from everybody. And it's we'll move on to communications, reports, and direction to staff.
Thank you.
Yeah, but hey, thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Barb.
And I forgot to tell the lady from the Moffitt and Nickel, thank you. So, so Harvard Commissioner reports. I'll start. There's a crab season's going or going out. Starts at midnight tonight. It was a good, successful set. Lots of good weather, and so we're looking for some crab to come in. We'll be pretty busy around here the next few days. So, about it.
I have nothing to report this time.
Okay.
I've been busy meeting with people who want to invest in the harbor, just listening to it, to ideas. And I think at some point, we've got, whether we'll choose somebody, you have to at least listen to somebody's new ideas, because if you keep on doing the way you're doing, you've done it, you will get the benefits from that the same way you've gotten so far. And obviously, it's not enough. New paths, new ways are needed to ensure that we're making the appropriate rate of money as we expected them.
Thank you, Hart. Thank you very much.
I shielded some calls during the opener, the set. There was parking issues within the parking lot. So I know that some of the areas were painted where there's caution and no parking, but I'm hoping that the harbor can soon paint some lines that are designating actual parking spaces so that we don't go through this again next year or as people pull gear out later in the season. I requested that for the meetings, we start getting more documentation and maybe written memos to go along with a lot of this, you know, the budgets. And when we're asked for numbers, I like numbers provided to us and not having to get an agenda and not then following up, of course, it's document and where's that document. I'm hoping you can see that on future agendas.
Nothing but okay, then we'll move on to communication parts and direction to staff. Harbor Master Report. I see you. Did you wrote one out here? We're gonna not go through verbal. We're just gonna, yeah, you can read the Harbor Master Report. And and then on the dredging update, that's in here. You want to give an update on the dredging?
Yeah, I mean, I'll still give just a brief verbal report on the activities that are not covered by the staff report. You know, I've been focusing on the RV park lease negotiations. I did go out of town at my own expense to meet with both of the two parties that were interested in developing the RV parks. We've been really focused on the MARAD PIDP grant administration that was, you know, part of the hearing we just had, and we're getting really close to going into the what's called the award phase, which is where the activity really ramps up. And we start doing more of the engineering work and do all the preparations for construction. It's going to start in the spring. Also really busy working on this hoist lease area issue with Fisherman's Catch. We had worked out an agreement, settlement agreement. We'll have to revisit that because the board just voted 2-1 against it. And it's 2-1 in support of it, but you have to have 3 votes according to our bylaws. So we'll have to bring that back to the board and address the concerns of Commissioner Schmidt. And then, as reflected in this report, we're doing a lot on dredging, particularly right now, the emergency dredging, pathway. So there's two different, strategies that we're using to sort of get over. The main bottleneck has been the lack of a disposal site. It's a place to put the dredge tailings. You can't dredge. You can't get a permit. So that's what our energy is focused on. And it's covered pretty comprehensively in this report. Commissioner Niemer asked for some additional information, and I replied to her by email, and I might include that in a future report to the board. Provide some more context on all the agencies that are involved. I mean, there's 15 different agencies potentially that we have to either get a permit from or get concurrence with a permit. The main ones are the Coastal Development Permit, U.S. Army Corps Permit, and the EPA Clean Water Act permit. So on top of that, we usually have to consult with the tribes to see, make sure there's no cultural resource impact, have a biological study done, make sure there's no endangered species they're going to be impacted. So you can see why this is a long process. I mean, up to 15 different agencies, that's a lot of meetings, a lot of coordination, and a lot of it comes down to money. So you guys probably saw the city council meeting, Mike Barr got a letter of support from the city, and we're going through this regional investment initiative grant to get up to $1 million that will help fund the pilot study. And then the emergency dredging avenue should be funded, probably up to 90% from the California Disaster Assistance Act. And if we can go a little bit deeper than pre-tsunami, we're going to definitely try and do that as part of a mitigation measure. Talking to Cal OES, they're definitely open to that. We just have to explain how that reduces the risk of future damage. And so the explanation would be that if we have a subsequent tsunami that's going to reduce navigation, go a little bit deeper, we've got that buffer. So that's the approach we're going to take. Anybody has any questions? We do have some timelines in the staff report too.
Deeper enough would mean less current in the harbor too. We might throw that in there. You said, wider would be beneficial, but that can't happen at this time. But deeper would definitely put less current in the harbor. Better water flow.
Yeah, I mean it's not off the table changing the entrance channel width. I mean, it'd be expensive, but it just depends on what we can get Cal OES to.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool.
Yeah,
down the road.
I'd like to request that measurable timelines be established. We've been discussing dredging and permits now for 3 years, and it's actually that no permits have been pulled in over a decade. So I am concerned, both previously as a citizen and now a commissioner, that we are saying the same thing 3 years. Action system started 3 years ago.
It's seven.
It's the same story, and there's nothing measurable or tangible that's moving.
Yeah, then seven.
I mean, I would respectfully disagree that nothing's happening. I mean, we spent about $100,000 over the past couple of years, work on consultants, Moffitt and Nickel. And that's, through that brainstorming, we've had many, many, many meetings with all of these 15 different agencies. And that's when we came up with the idea to do a pilot program, because, if there's one thing that these scientists like, it's doing a study. And so if we do a study at the same time, we can do some dredging, that's placating them. And then we're actually getting some dirt moving. So it's a win-win situation. But, what we have to do, since our dredge ponds have been decertified, we have no place to put it. So the only other option we get out of the hood is the Humboldt Offshore Disposal Site, which is like $1 million just in transport costs. So our current strategy is to go to Whaler Island, which could actually have some beneficial impact in terms of restoring that beach area. Some ecological benefits, and it's much, much more cost effective. We can just pump it out there using the existing piping that we have in the harbor. But last year when the Army Corps did it, it was a $5 million project, and that was just disposing of it at Whaler Island, which is the most cost effective option. So it's two barriers. It's number one, having the money. I mean, $5 million for 40,000 cubic yards. I mean, that's not really a ton of sediment to move. That's a lot of money. And then the mobilization cost is really pretty extreme because of our location. It has to come up from the Bay Area. So although we're not dredging this, renting maintenance dredging this year, we are going through the steps, the prerequisites that lay the groundwork for that. I mean, this pilot study is measurable progress. And, if we get the award, the timeline here is October 2026. It says $500,000 there. We're upping that to $1 million. And so permit applications in 27. It's all the studies that are required. I mean, it's maddening. But unless we can change the law, the state legislature, this is what we're dealing with.
We've been talked with Army Corps of Engineers and the Water Board for years. I've been on meetings with them, and it just goes around and around in circles. And it's the two Harvard Masters before Mike had done the same thing. And I'm with the frustration that Commissioner Niemer has and been frustrated and. I was with the Army Corps of Engineers. I said, this silt comes into the harbor. All we want to do is put it back out where it goes. Take it, send it home. And there's this tremendous amount of quagmire with all these agencies just to do it. It's just the most stupid thing I've ever experienced in my life, but I'm experiencing it. And I've seen it go on for years and years and years, and I don't think it's going to change. So you go to Oregon, they pull it out, they dump it a mile outside, they come back in and get another load, and they dump it a mile outside, and a year later it all comes back in and they do it again. So, but
Well,
here it's impossible.
yeah, I mean, I want to make a distinction too between the past. I mean, at this point in time, we have these agencies agreeable to this approach. So we are getting a consensus, around this study, which I'll, admittedly is a small scale, but this is the one thing that they're agreeing to go forward with. So that is an improvement,
Yeah,
over the
let's
past.
get it. Let's get it because that I've enjoyed the article in Redwood Voice. I want to say that they did a great job of describing that to the public, and I hope a lot of people read it. It was a very good article about the different sized particles in the sediment and the future of it, and it might be the answer to our whole dredging problem. But it can't come quick enough. But I understand it's very frustrating.
Yeah, and I mean, the other thing too is we are going to benefit potentially. I mean, there's a silver lining to this tsunami. Obviously, it's a devastating impact in many ways. But if we're able to do this emergency dredging and get approval to go a little bit deeper than the pre-tsunami level, then that would be, some progress as well. And we are able to go through the permitting on an expedited basis in some areas, not everything, but CEQA, they have some expedited procedures for that under this emergency proclamation that the governor made in December. So, it's not the status quo. Things are changing. We have a couple of opportunities here that we haven't had in the past. And I think we
And
should.
Fish and Wildlife's going to assess any kind of environment problem with the ocean. And if they don't see any, then we're going to be able to put more. And like I said, it could be the hopefully it's our answer to the problem. If we could put a small amount at a consistent timing, and maybe we can accomplish our goal that way.
Yeah, it's basically taking an incremental approach.
Okay, thank
Dr.
you,
Barr.
President. Okay.
Okay, Mike Barr wanted to. If you want to jump in, Mike, go ahead.
Can I add a public comment here? So in the grant, what I want to clarify is that this is not just an issue at the Crescent City Harbor District. This is an issue of the ports in the North Coast Regional Water Quality Control District. So in this grant, it is a study at each of the Northern California ports, Humboldt, Crescent City, and NOYO just actually backed out this week out of the study. So we reallocated their funds. So it's actually up today up to 1.25 million, 250,000 for both Crescent City and Humboldt. And San Mateo County Harbor District is also in this application because they just are in, they just were able to get the pilot study and just land-based, and they need now more study money. So the goal is that it's happened in Southern California. It's been approved other places. It's never this, the interior channel dredging, there really is not a permit available from the North Coast Regional Water Quality Board will sign off on. This process does that, and they are at the table, but we do have to, the Harbor Crest of the Arbitrage will have to pay for their costs and the cost of the agencies to do the monitoring, to do the studies. And that's really why this is so expensive, but it's not just this port.
I'll add to that, Mike, because I, about 5 years ago when we're in the, when in the litigation we were in and going into it, and I reached out to Humboldt and Fort Bragg both, and they both commented on the same thing. It's just an impossibility. So the one lady in Humboldt says, she says, you know, dredging as we know it might never exist again. And that was about 5 or 6 years ago. So now what you're saying is this is a new program that's coming on that they're trying different ways of dredging. And hopefully they get this problem fixed because it's going to be a real big problem in all the harbors. And they were very concerned in Humboldt they would never be able to dredge again. So, you know, it's not only here. I know that. That's what I thought. It was be our bad staff, our bad harbor master several years ago. And everybody was having the same problem in the whole state of California. So it's very frustrating when you go 18 miles north and they can conduct business completely different. Anyways, with that, I think we've hit that. And thank you very much for the update. And Mike, thank you for that explanation. We're going to consider the modification of the CEO Harbor Master housing requirement and take appropriate action, including the possible approval of a benefit election pursuant to the CEO Harbor Master employment agreement. Consider it. Go ahead.
Is there a real need to go through this particular component at this time?
What?
Because we haven't agreed to any other contract that so far has been presented. And I don't see anything on the horizon that there's a major change going to happen.
Well, my concern would actually be a discussion. We haven't actually signed a lease for any building with the Harbor Master, and that should still be our duty to sign a lease, regardless of where he resides. So as a board, we should have a lease for him for whatever, if he's going to stay there. Although he's not there, he's the Coast Guard building.
So the lease language is in the previous contracts, and the most recent contract just references that and says, you know, pursuant to those terms. But I mean, it's going to be a moot point if this is approved. Then, you know, I'm just getting my own happy. So, but there is lease language. I mean, it has, you know, all the terms about, you know, if there's any damage to the property, all those kinds of typical terms that you can see or standing on the lease. So, but yeah, I mean, this is just basically, I think, deciding that it's in the best interest of the harbor to make this available to the people that want to develop the RV park. And you know, I'm fine with it. I have identified another place to live. So I think if that's what the board wants to do, it's fine with me.
I would move for a Kieran correct. I think I disagreed with this clause back when it was adopted. There's no actual need for the harbor master to live on the grounds. We have security in the evenings and weekends. No other harbor offers this. Harbor masters live near it, and there's no budget for it to pay this out now. It's not budgeted in. It was proposed during this. It was not discussed. The actual, there was no, I asked for numbers to be presented. No numbers were presented before the approval of this. And also, the lease contract, and I know what you're referring to, is Bayside, but you've been residing at the Coast Guard and Abalone buildings. And the proof is actually in the electric bill, but also the county having to evict you out of the Abalone building. Okay. So there's a whole cluster around this.
Renegotiating an already approved contract at this point, because That contract that is being mentioned here has been approved. It's a valid contract. So he either gets the money or gets the housing.
I'll entertain public comment here, but this is the board discussion right now. So no public comment at this time, please.
And I would request that the board enforce the actual housing and that the Avalone and Coast Guard buildings be cleared out. There's no authorization for residency or use there from the board.
I mean, if that's what you think, this is exactly what you're to make you happy, I would imagine.
It's not about making me happy, it's about actually following the contract.
I mean, you're saying you don't think if there's an emergency need, this is going to be a determination that's not, you know, we're moving away from that posture. So I don't understand why you're not happy.
I'd like you to stop thinking about my happiness here. It's not about happiness, it's a contract. And further, by approving this without a budget and without being able to show that we can afford that when we know we can't, at the last budget meeting, $75,000 of your pay was pencil whipped away into grant money because we couldn't afford it. So how can we afford this?
So this should be revenue neutral once we lease the RV parks, because we're building into the minimum annual guarantee with the proposers the value of this housing. And the way that the motion is suggested, this would go into effect, you know, once I move out, you know, which is going to be, you know, when we have somebody else coming in, which would be the, developers. I mean, one of the proposers wants to move in as soon as February 1st. Obviously, we're still having to negotiate that. But, you know, I need to know what the board wants to do so that I can, you know, make my plans and arrange my life and, you know, move and take care of things. And I can't just, you know, if we sign a lease, you know, next week, I need some time, you know. So that's all I'm asking for is, it's basically something we already negotiated during my employment contract. We're just activating this one option that was in the contract. I think it's pretty straightforward.
Is that all the comments from the board? Comments from the board? Okay, public comment. I know you have your first hand was raised.
Just one thing. Since I've been coming to the board meetings, there's been this constant complaint that the harbor master is not available. And if you're going to exclude him from being in the harbor, that seems to be counterproductive to the notion that he's not available. So I'm curious as to what direction the board is taking.
I've asked Mike to be here from noon to one in this office. So, that's fine with the approach. But I hear what you're saying. It's fine with conditions, not letting him live on the harbor property.
I mean, I understand what you're saying there, but like you say, the constant complaint that I've been hearing in all of these meetings is that he's not available. And if you're going to move him off the property, which, you know, you can do, how is that going to make him any more available? Because certainly a lot of the problems that occur in that harbor don't occur during the, one to four.
No, I know what you're saying. They happen at night, all night, and every day. Yeah.
I mean,
water lines break.
Exactly. And if he's available, he's here. Makes a whole lot more sense in some rental up in Smith River.
That's what I believe too.
Thank you
very much.
First off, I sent you all a letter. I know you delete mine, you don't look at them. But that little clause there is completely unlawful, and it will be challenged. Number two, only one person on this board is bonded. None of you were bonded when you signed that contract, which means it's not even legal. Okay, number three, the guy's never here. And if he is here, he's stuck over at the Coast Guard station, sneaks over to the Avalone house so he has a place to sleep. And he doesn't go over here because it's allegedly cockroach infested. I can't say that right. So he gets paid $120,000 a year, folks. He can afford to go out and pay rent. You don't need to gift him public funds so that he'll be the harbor master, because there's other people waiting up in line just to take his place. So, folks, you better reconsider that, because it will be challenged in court.
Mr. Chairman, one question. The night of the tsunami, where was your harbor master?
Not here.
L.A.?
Not in town.
12:33, I got a text. He was here.
I came back early in the report.
So I just want to get an idea. He was away and he came back to an exigent, immediate problem. Now, I'm really tired of people besmirching him in every opportunity, and it needs to stop. These comments, like when I'm making a comment, we have people blurting out again. It seems like the same thing over and over and over again. Can you please shut your mouths? I have 3 minutes. I'm going to use them without interruption. And all these scurrilous charges, it never ends. Yesterday at the board meeting, more nonsense talk about the harbor. It's got to stop. You want peace, Mr. Chairman? You want peace here on this board?
I do.
And hit that gavel a few times and shut people up. Now, my understanding is the harbor master was on site when many of you were in your beds that night of the harbor tsunami. That's my understanding. And no one's disputed that. If he's en route from one place to another, he does have a life. He got here. It was sometime like 1 in the morning. Help me if I'm wrong, Mr. Mr. Rattermaker, wasn't it like someone in that area?
It wasn't that soon. I had to get on a plane. So.
But we've got to stop this bickering and yelling and this minutiae that you're over. He's doing a good job. And you can't find anything that he does. Many of you here, including you, Ms. Niebuhr, cannot find anything valuable of what this man has done. And I'm just astounded. It's the same thing over and over again. And I don't know what's going to change you, Mr. Chairman. It's in your hands.
Well, I just want to point out that the benefit level I'm going to be receiving under this contract is actually less than any other employee, because it's 75% of the value of the health insurance. So I'm getting less, not more. Let's just be clear about that.
He's supplying his own health insurance for those people who aren't aware. The harbor's not supplying him his health insurance. So this is 75% of what we would be paying for his health insurance. So it's actually less than if he wanted to get, than if we were insuring him. So, and I agree. And when there was some muddling, I said, there's no public comment at this time. And anyways, I'm really, really tired of it too, because it's just constantly the hate the mic show, and I'm trying to put up with it. We'll keep going the best we can, but that's the deal. I thought it was a great deal at the time, because he said, okay, well then I'll get my health insurance here. It would cost us way more money than this is going to cost us, but they'll find something wrong with the cure for cancer, I'm sure. So anyways, that's my comment.
Point of correction.
Yes.
I believe 120,000 is what's been said he makes. I've got his contract in front of me and it's signed and it says 114,000. So just want to be correct about what you're down to.
Okay, corrected, stand corrected. It's not 120,000, it's 114,000. Which is $20,000 less than what Tim was making when he left.
Yeah. So Tim was paying his rent, and also if you were living in that building,
we were paying his health insurance.
But you are not living in that building. So you're asking us to pay you to move out of a building you're not living in, Rick.
I don't think we're going to come to an agreement here. I wanted to end it today. I had Ryan.
We already came to an agreement. Okay. We voted for the contract. It's a valid existing contract. I don't know what we're still talking about. Okay. All the harbor master is asking for, since we are leasing the properties that he supposedly should be staying there, that he has been looking for some other opportunity. Doesn't look like we're leasing it anytime soon. So stay put, stay within the contract that we all agreed upon. It's a valid contract.
But I mean, I would like the board to authorize this so that I can enter into a lease in an apartment and make arrangements. To pay him 75. I mean, it says if you move offshore, pull out of the right. But Ryan said the board should approve it.
Okay.
So we should take a motion. This is a suggested motion. Ryan did read the public comments that were received from Ms. Sutter. He wrote a response and he reaffirms he's the fourth attorney to reaffirm that this is a valid contract. So if the board would indulge me, I think we should just approve this and be done with it.
Can I just reiterate the basis of this? We don't pay Mr. Rademacher's health insurance. So the harbor's saving on that. So the trade was that we would provide him housing in lieu of paying his health insurance. Right? We're not. So it was a trade-off. We provide housing, we don't pay his health insurance. Now, if the district decides that it's more productive or we decide that we don't want him living on grounds, then we would pay him a rate of 75% of what the district would pay for his health benefits. He's still providing his health benefits himself. And we're paying 75% of what it would cost the district for his health benefits. So I can't explain it anymore. It was a trade.
Explain three ways.
Yeah. We don't pay his health benefits, but we were going to provide him housing. If we decide to no longer provide him housing, then we pay 75% of what the rate would be for the district for his health benefits.
Well, it is.
I can't say this again, but the last sentence says vacates the apartment at Bayside RV Park. And yet this board refuses to acknowledge, even though it's been confirmed, that he's sleeping at the other facilities. So I'll be trying three different buildings on the premises.
At this time, I mean, I prefer to have Mr. Rademacher on site living on grounds. When things happen at 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, we have a 24/7. That's a huge benefit to the harbor that we're not paying for because he's salaried being on grounds to respond to these things. So if he moves off site, now he has to come into the harbor from wherever he's at. He's not on site to respond quickly. At this time, I'd like to make a motion. It's in his contract. It's perfectly legal. I prefer you to stay on grounds. Let me back up. I don't want to propose a motion. I'd like to keep the status quo and keep you on grounds, Mr. Rademacher, at this time until we determine that we have a concrete lease with another entity that's going to operate Bayside or Redwood.
Well, I mean, as written, it's not operative until I actually move out. So, I mean, I'd rather just be done with this part of it. And then when we have somebody moving in, I can move out and there's no further action required. But for right now, the status quo will stay the same.
So what you're proposing is that we make a motion that when a lease is signed with another entity to operate Bayside, that at that time, this will kick in.
Yeah, well, I mean, when I vacate, because you don't want to be paying me, you know, while I still have my stuff there.
Well, I would like you here until we sign the lease with somebody else. Okay. I would like you on site. So that would be, if we were to entertain a motion, that would be my motion that I would propose, that you remain on site until the lease is signed with another entity to operate Bayside.
Yeah, I mean, the only issue I would have is that because we were anticipating signing a lease potentially this week, I had to make arrangements, you know, to get a lease with an apartment. So I don't really want to lose that opportunity. You know, otherwise, I mean, it's a nice location. It's agreeable. And so I've kind of already, the ball's kind of already in motion.
Then we need to ask Sandy, could it be within our budget? I don't know the figure yet. I don't know what his insurance would be. So.
Right.
Let's look.
I don't have that answer at the moment.
So let's look at this again in a couple weeks.
Okay. Is that okay?
I mean, it's going to, I guess I'll have to, I don't know, cancel the lease or something, but it's not ideal from my point of view, but I understand.
The district is still available, the district still has the ability to provide you with housing. That's where I stand on it, and that would be my preference that you're here and respond 24/7.
And then I guess maybe what you're saying is pay, we'll figure out what that amount is and pay 75% on a monthly basis until we can approve this as a board. We're obligated to pay him 75% of his, if he moves off, and he's going to move off site. So we're obligated to pay that.
So the section says that the residency in district housing is no longer required and hereby approves, right? I would say that.
They don't want him in there, so they want to move him out. So that's what you're leasing an apartment.
Yeah. I mean, and the effective date is when basically all my stuff is out of Bayside. I mean, I was planning on basically being out by the end of the month. I mean, my lease would actually start tomorrow so that I can have some overlap and get all my stuff moved. Because we were looking, the proposers wanted to move in February 1st. It's going to create a hardship in a certain sense because I'm going to have to find another place.
Because one you're leasing now, you won't have.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know 100% if I can, and what my recourse is to get out of it.
Plenty of rentals this time of year.
So the operative of this section, as Chairman Gerhard pointed out, Secretary Weber, is that the board determines pursuant to Section 3.4 is no longer required. So unless a board member would like to entertain a motion that you living on grounds is no longer required, I guess we wouldn't move forward. So that's where we're at.
Okay. Like there's no numbers, guys.
Oh, no public comment right now, please. Where do you want to go?
I have no motion.
Did you? That was your motion?
I don't have a motion at this time. I like the idea of Mr. Rademacher living on grounds to respond.
But evidently he's rented another place. So, I mean, we have to honor this 3.4. That's all.
It's only the operative is if the board determines, not if Mr. Rademacher determines.
Well, I think we've determined that he doesn't no longer should live on the grounds.
Okay. Is that what we're determining?
I thought that's what they wanted.
I want him to actually reside in Bayside and not occupy three buildings that we can't generate revenue from.
All right.
Well, I know we can have another meeting on the 28th.
Let's do that.
Can we put it off till the 28th?
Yeah. What do you want to see happen between... Now, if we're going to have a lease signed with the developer by then, or
can you bring us the number, Sandy, on what the effect of the harbor would be? Thank you.
My thought is that we honor the section 3.4 when you move out, because we're obligated to do that.
You're welcome to make a motion.
I'll make a motion that we honor section 3.4 and we. On a month-to-month basis, we pay him 75% of his medical until we can resolve this problem.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to see the numbers first.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then we're going to do it on the 28th. I'm getting weary here. I'm not going to do this. We're going to move on to financial report, RAM reimbursements and gap funding upgrade. I think I'm going to check out and I'm going to give you the gavel.
Can we take a 5-minute recess?
You know, I can finish this real quick if you just give me 5 minutes.
Okay.
I understand that I had made a commitment to have this all in writing instead of doing all of these different things to get you like a staff report kind of thing and write all of these things. That was fully our intention at the end of last week and all of these things. These are the things that I worked at on in the 3 weeks, but didn't get them to finish because other things came up there at the end of the week. So that's why they were put on here. And I thought that I would just run through each one and give you a quick synopsis of that. but I understand that you would rather have it in writing, so I'm prepared to not say anything, put all of these things on the next meeting, and just have a written staff report.
Perfect. And we can supply it to the public prior to
exactly.
presenting it
That's
at the meeting.
What everybody would like, let's just do that.
Yeah.
Okay, does that include the transition QuickBooks payroll service provider?
Yeah, everything.
Everything on this whole page?
Everything on that whole list. I've worked on all of those things, and I could have given you a one-sentence thing about where we're at on
this. I know last week you were extremely busy with the RV parks and the lease negotiation with the harbor, and I wanted to say how hard these two work. I was up late at night and went to bed while they were still working, and it's a very thankless job, these two staff members we have. I believe that's my opinion. Very, very well unappreciated. So, anyways, with that being said, I guess we're
Mr. Chairman, if I may, under 10E, I think it is critical that we address item number 12, the MLF and CSS bills for approval. That's our Mitchell.
We actually just received those, and they don't become due until after the next meeting.
Perfect.
And that's why I felt we were okay with
Excellent.
Passing on those.
Thank you, Ms. Brando.
Yep.
So, yeah, we don't need to address those.
I think there was a question on those bills, too, or something, I think. But anyways.
Can you please email those invoices to the commissioner so they can review them?
Exactly.
Yep.
The invoices right here.
So, I think the bills were included in the packet.
They were. They're in the packet. Yeah,
they're in this packet.
Yeah.
I didn't get them.
Be,
I,
for that
okay, with that, I conclude the meeting today. Thanks for everybody coming and all the great comments. We'll be back here on the 28th of January.
I just looked up that Marika's declaration thing, and I found it was given to him, and I did get that. I thought it was for me, so I already
That's okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're still in my pen.